today. Can we do that? And pray for our children's workers. So, do you have your Bibles? Some copy of a Bible. All right. Let's turn to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and we'll begin in verse 13. We are again continuing the message in the miracles series, and what we're doing is taking a look at some of the miracles of Jesus found in the New Testament, obviously in the Gospels, and not only seeing the great things that Jesus does and the great miracles that he did and how he did it, but again, I've learned that with every move of God and with every answer and with every miracle that God does, there's always a message behind it. There is something that God wants to convey to us when he answers our prayers, and there's something that God wants to convey through his miracles in Scripture. And I want to take a look at, first of all, the only miracle that is listed in all four of the Gospels, and that is the feeding of the 5,000. And the title of this message is simply, again, some of you said that when you saw me walk up here to preach, again, but that's the title today, is again. And I want to start by reading Matthew 14. And to be honest with you, this is not the only scripture, as you can see, that I'm going to share. I'm also going to go one chapter ahead afterwards, and you're going to find out where I get this title. First of all, stand with me, will you, in honor of the reading of God's word, and let's take a look at this scripture together. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 13, says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'That isn't necessary. You feed them.' 'But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. 'Bring them here,' he said. And then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. And then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children." Now, turn or click to chapter 15, okay? Because something interesting. This is the famous feeding of the multitude story. But some people forget that there was another one. And it's right here in Matthew 15, and it starts in verse 32. And it's very similar. In fact, take a look at this. "Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, 'I feel sorry for these people. They've been here with me for 3 days. They have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way.'" Now, time out before we even advance to the next slide. You would think that the disciples all of a sudden kind of get a gleam in their eye. Like, oh yeah, we know what's coming. Yeah, he's going to do the bread and fish trick again. You know, he's going to feed everybody. This is going to be great. Wow, let's stand back and watch, Andrew. This is going to be awesome. They didn't respond that way. In fact, look at the next verse. Here's their response to that. The disciples replied, "Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd?" Jesus asked, "How much bread do you have?" They replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish." So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground, and then he took the 7 loaves and the fish. He thanked God for them and broke them into pieces, and he gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. Let's pray. God, I'm going to ask you to put us right there at that point where we find ourselves in a similar situation that we've been in before. And God, everything that comes with that, I pray that you just bring that out and show us what our mindset, what our spiritual lives need to be when we go through this kind of thing. And Lord, I'll thank you for all you do. Bless the preaching of your word, I pray. In your name, and we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, I want to deal with the situation that I think many of us have had to deal with before. And it's not always easy to deal with. I want to deal with those moments in our lives where we find ourselves looking heavenward and saying, again? Again? Lord, I was in this situation before, and now I'm in it again. Lord, you healed my body before, but now it feels like the symptoms have come back. Lord, you mended that relationship in the past, and it was good. But now there's trouble there again. Lord, you took care of this situation recently. I didn't think I'd ever have to deal with it again. And now here I am in the same spot, in the same position again. What's going on, Lord? Have you ever asked that question, or is it just me today? Have you ever been there, or maybe you're there right now, where Jesus answered your prayer, whether it was a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, years ago, whatever the case might be, but he did a good thing, absolutely, one chapter ago. But now, here you are again, and maybe your faith is kind of shook up a little bit. Maybe that discourages you. Maybe you're wondering, what have I done wrong to be in this position again? What am I lacking spiritually? Have I disobeyed God? Is God getting back at me? Has God erased that answer and brought the problem back? Man, it's quiet in here. What's going on? I want to deal with those situations today. Because what I have seen in my life and what I've seen in many people's lives is that these situations create a huge battle in our minds. Huge. And if you're like me, my mind can just go all over the place. Maybe some of you can too. You've been blessed with a crazy mind like mine. And so we start rationalizing things, we start blaming ourselves, or we get mad at God, or you know, whatever. And things it becomes an emotional battle, a mental struggle. What do you do? What do you do with all those thoughts? What do you need to keep in mind when you look to God and the symptoms come back and you say again, when the relationship is cruddy again and you say again, when that very thing you didn't think you would ever have to deal with again because he brought you through and he answered your prayer and he fed the multitude and he did this incredible miracle and here you are again. What do you keep in mind? What can we learn from this second miracle? The miracle where the disciples were in the same position again. See, some of you are getting mad at the disciples, just like, duh, It was just a one page over where Jesus did this before. How can you guys forget that? How can you say, I don't know what we're going to do? Of course you know. He's going to do the fish trick again. He's going to feed everybody. Some crazy way he's going to do it. But that's not what they said. And you would think that we would say, well, he's going to heal me again. Oh, this is going to be great. Oh, we don't say that. Oh, he's going to put this whole thing back together again. Oh, I can't wait to see what he does. Now, if that is your response, praise your name. That's just wonderful. But I'm guessing, if we just want to get gut-level honest here today, I'm guessing that many of us might struggle from time to time when we look to the Lord and we say, again? So this morning, I want to give you some things that I think we need to keep in mind when we face the hungry crowd, when the symptoms come back, when the problem arises, when the crisis makes a sequel. What should we keep in mind? You ready for this? Number one, I want you to keep in mind this. I want you to keep in mind Jesus' sincerity. Pastor, what do you mean? Excuse me. I want to focus not necessarily on what Jesus did, but what he didn't do to the disciples at this time of doubt. Look at verses 33 and 34 again, okay? The disciples replied, "Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd?" Now, time out. Here's how I would react. Are you kidding me? Do you not remember what I did before? You still smell like fish. How can you forget this? We fed 5,000 men, plus their kids, plus their wives. Probably about 10,000 people there, guys. How in the world can you forget? Leprosy, all of you. Well, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And I'm so glad he didn't. I'm so glad he didn't. In fact, we don't see Jesus even giving them a harsh word for something they should have remembered. For something they should have been able to say, "Hey, what do you need, Jesus? Let's see you do this again." I didn't. I'm so glad that when I am at my worst, Jesus is still at his best for me. And when I don't act like I should, and when I don't have all the faith and power that I proclaim to have, when in private I'm saying, "I don't know what we're going to do," that Jesus doesn't take that and say, "I'm going to punish you so good for that. What is wrong with you?" He didn't do it. He didn't do it. How do you respond? Well, he merely said in verse 34, "Guys, how much bread do you have? What do you got? What do you got? Let's do this." I'm so glad that Jesus seems to be a lot more patient with my shortcomings than all of you are. I'm so glad that Jesus is more patient with my failures than even I am. Then when I want to condemn myself, I'm reminded there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that I am reminded that I am still just some frail human being that has these lapses, and I forget how good he is. I mean, I've read about it. I've seen him do it. You have too. And yet when it hits us again, we don't know how to respond. And then, because we haven't really reacted really well, then we think, "Oh, man, he must be ticked off at me. I dare not pray because my faith hasn't been that strong. And then some of us, we'll just let that snowball. Then we drift from God. And then we distance ourselves from Him. And it all started because we looked up to heaven and we said, again? But I have good news. That the Lord sincerely loves you, regardless of where you are spiritually today. And if you're in a season of questioning, if you're in a season of doubt, He still loves you and He still cares for you. Even if you have said some not so good things, even if you have wondered if He even exists anymore, He can handle you. Can I just say this? Just in case anyone in here needs to get over themselves, He can handle you. You're not going to ruin Jesus' day. He's got a plan. And so He very sincerely loves you. We've seen Jesus' sincerity. Secondly today, I not only want to talk about Jesus' sincerity, but I also want to take a look at our availability. Those of you who are going to get stressed out about my points, they all end in I-T-Y, just so you can chill, okay? Because some of you, it just torments you for days. So that's the play today. Okay, there you go. This sermon is brought to you by the letters I, T, and Y. All right. But I want to take a look at our availability. Now, okay, let's go back to Jesus' response. The guys say, where would we get bread here to feed them there? And then verse 34, Jesus says, how much bread do you have? And they replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. And then He took the 7 loaves and the fish. He thanked God for them and broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples who distributed the food to the crowd. Now, back up, okay? Because this is a big thought here in this message. We know how the story goes because we already read it, right? He takes the fish and He takes the bread, feeds 4,000 people plus, and everyone's happy and full. But may I suggest to you that if Jesus wanted to, He could have just, poof, fillet a fish everywhere. Right? And hold that nasty tartar sauce. What is that about? That's a product of the fall of man is what that is. What in the world? Tartar sauce will be in hell. It's in the Bible. Look it up. It's in Hezekiah. Just joking. Message Bible. Yeah, I don't like tartar sauce. Okay, let's get back. So, honestly, because why? Jesus is the creator, right? He's God, correct? So God, Jesus, can create anything at any time. So He could have just looked at the crowd and say, hey, poof, brats. Well, He was Jewish, so probably not. But steak. But He didn't. He asked an interesting question. He said, okay, guys, what do you have? What do you have available that can make this miracle happen? I think that in those times where we look heavenward and we just say, again, I think the Lord pauses for a moment and He looks at us and He says, what do you have? What is it that you can make available to me that can cause this answer to come? Because I'm convinced that sometimes God wants to use us to see the miracle take place. Sure, he'll do something for us miraculously, but oftentimes when he wants to do something for us miraculously, he will also do something through us miraculously. And so what did he use? He used their resources. Well, we got some bread and some small fish. This won't even feed us, Jesus. And Jesus said, that's all I need. That's all I need. Oh, God, this relationship is a mess again. And Jesus might say, well, what do you got? Maybe there's something in you that can make this relationship better. Oh, God, my finances are so bad again. And I keep looking for that huge check in the balloon bouquet from Publishers Clearing House. It hasn't happened. And Jesus might just say, what do you got that you can give to me? Maybe it's my tithe. That was free, by the way. What do you have? In fact, not only did Jesus use their resources, but he actually used them. Okay, guys, we got 10,000 people to feed, if you count the women and kids, easily. So, I'll make the food, you do the serving. Boom, here we go. Apparently, that's the sound for every miracle. Boom. So, I've done it too many times, I'm going to stop now. So he says, here's the miracle. Now, you serve. You make this happen. God, I want this church to grow. I want this church to experience something great from you. Then God might just say, quit waiting for the preacher to do it all. What do you got? And so God might want you to serve. God might want you to do something to see the Lord do something great in your church. It's not just the people that sign the checks. It's not just the people that can marry him and bury him. It's all of us together. What do you have? What do you got? What's available? He even used their weak faith. Wow. How many times did the disciples really not answer Jesus well, and he still did good things? Remember when they were in the boat and the storm came? Jesus is sleeping. How did they approach Jesus? Did they say, oh God, willest thou deliverest useth? No. Literally, what did they say? We're going to die. Literally, they said, Jesus, don't you care that we die? Boy, there is a faithful prayer right there. How about that? What if they came to the prayer team and the person praying with just said, oh God, don't you even care if this person dies? I mean, wouldn't that be fun? But yet God can take even our weak faith and do something massive. See, God's still bigger than you. God's still bigger than you. And it's a privilege that we can make ourselves available where he might even say, I'm going to use you to see this miracle take place. What do you got? What do you have available that you can offer to the Lord to maybe see the supernatural take place? Jesus' sincerity, number one. Our availability, number two. Number three, Jesus' capability. How many of you know that Jesus never has an off day? Never does. Jesus never has a bad game. Jesus never only gets it half right. He does all things well. And he is able, as we sang earlier, as we prayed earlier, He is able to take care of what it is that you're facing again. Look what he did. Same words that we read in Matthew 14, we read in Matthew 15. Simply this in verse 37, they all ate as much as they wanted. That's my life verse right there. So, let's cross-stitch that on a pillow, huh? They all ate as much as they want. He did it again. He did it again. He fed the multitude again. He didn't deplete his resources the first time. He did it again. He healed you before. He can heal you again. He brought your family together before. He can do it again. That child that you prayed for who had strayed from God and finally got his life right with God, and now he's messing with temptation, guess what? The Holy Spirit, Mama, you keep praying for him. The Holy Spirit will bring him back again. God can do it again. You might be facing it again, but God can do it again. The answer can come again, and he does it well. Is it any wonder that in Mark chapter 7, after Jesus had done a miracle, literally everybody said, they were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Everything that Jesus does is wonderful. Proverbs 18:30, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. See, not only is he perfect, but his ways are perfect. He knows exactly how to do it. He knows when to do it. He knows what to do. You can bank on that. You can count on that, that he will always be true to his word. And when he acts, when he moves, he does it correctly. And it may not even be according to your script. In fact, it'll be better whether you think it is or not. God, I don't ask for much, just $1 billion. You could do that. Sure you could. And by the way, make sure you tithe to Beth. I'll give you a building program. But God may just say, you know what? I got a plan. And it might not be how you have wrapped it. It may not be in the decoration that you desire. It may not have the pretty bow that you think it needs to have. But I'll meet your need. I'll meet your need. You may not get the big check in the bloom bouquet, but I may bless you with employment. Well, I got to work for that? Yeah. You may not get healed on the first day you pray. You may not. You may. But God might take his time and show you what it really means to trust him so that you can then tell somebody else how to trust him. If the Lord answered your prayer once, he's able to do it again. Here's the last one. I want you to keep in mind our durability. Pastor, what do you mean? Verse 37, we get a similar circumstance in the first miracle in Matthew 14. In Matthew 14, they had 12 baskets left over, some say for each of the disciples. In this one, Jesus does something similar again. And I think it's an important truth with anything that God does. Again, look at verse 37. It says this. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. Let me say something to you. Jesus will never waste what he has done in your life. He will never trash that. He will never throw it away. Even if you try, he will not. And the things that God does for you are meant to endure. They are durable. They are long-lasting through your life. What he did for you decades ago, don't trash that. Don't throw that away. If he baptized you in the Holy Spirit, don't all of a sudden think that it wasn't real. Don't all of a sudden think that it's not for today just because you heard someone else say that. But understand that that experience that you had was actually intended to be a daily thing, and it is very, very real. If God healed your body in the past, he did that for a reason. Do not waste that, because every test eventually will become a testimony. So every answer that God gives you, God does not want that to be wasted. He wants to use that. He has a higher purpose than just making you feel good and making you feel better. He has a higher purpose than just answering your prayer. He wants to take that answer that you have and use it for his glory. But we can't just let it sit in the ground. We got to gather it up, because God has a plan. Jesus will never, hear me, he will never waste not one of your experiences, good or bad. I should have got a lot more amens there. When you go through that trial, God wants to use that. You think that was just you rebelling? Really? You don't think that God had his hand on you that whole time? And he said, when you get out of this, I'm going to use this. I got baskets to pick up that bread. I've got an idea. I've got an idea. Kelly's experiencing that. God brought Kelly through some stuff. Now I'm not going to give the whole story. But today, he's touching people who are currently in the clutches of what he was in the clutches with, but God has set him free. Is that not cool? See, we don't glorify the past, but we do glorify the God who brought us out of our past. See, that's what we do. So all that time, God was saying, I am not going to waste that experience. I'm not going to. He will not waste your failure. He will not waste your success. He will not waste your crisis. He will not waste your shortcoming. He will not waste your weak moment. He will not waste your strong moment. Everything that God does and everything you go through, Jesus has a plan. And that's something for somebody here today, because you need to know that you are not damaged goods. You are not damaged goods. While I went through this when I was a kid, I was treated like this when I was a kid, and I am not minimizing that at all, but I'm going to tell you something. You are not damaged goods. All things are new underneath Jesus because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so he could take your worst moments and turn them around and use them for his glory. See, all that time that you've been going through this, Jesus had a basket, and he was just gathering it. Oh, I'm going to use this. That trial you went through with your kid, I'm going to use this. That health scare that you had, oh, I can't wait to use this. I can't wait to use this. That battle that you faced, I'm going to use this. Because when I get done with him, when I get done with her, when they get through this, I'm going to have baskets full that they could share of just how good the Holy Spirit really is in someone's life. So you're not damaged, you're durable. God has a plan. I'm talking to people today who find themselves saying, again? And you're wondering if God's mad at you. He's not. He's not. You're wondering how what can I do? He's got a plan. And he may use you. All he asks is, what do you have? What do you have? And maybe, just maybe, just maybe, God may take that repeat, that sequel that you're going through, that you did not sign up for, and yet do one more miracle. Today, if you're in the midst of a really bad sequel, if you're looking to heaven and saying, again, today's your day, to say, Lord, I need you to do it again. Will you stand with me? Ralph, can you help me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if you're going through one of these again moments or not. I feel some have to be. Otherwise, God wouldn't have dropped this on me so heavy this week. But I want you to know there's good news. The Lord sees you, he loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to do another miracle for you. So do not be discouraged, and don't doubt. Trust him. Pray to him. And today I want to give you a chance just to get alone with him and say, Lord, take this. Take this again moment. And if you want to use me, if you want to do something in me, great. But God, do something eternal that doesn't go away. So Lord, I submit to you. And maybe those are the kind of prayers we need to pray today. Maybe you just need to call that thing out to the Lord and pray for that child and pray for that health issue and pray for that work situation and pray for that financial battle. Pray for that job situation, whatever the case might be. Maybe you just need to take a few moments and say, Lord, I got to give this to you. So I'm going to pray. When I say amen, I want to give you a chance to get alone with God. Maybe here at this altar. Maybe you want to turn or sit at your seat, but we're going to make this room a house of prayer. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. If God's released you, you can fellowship with one another in the lobby. But for now, can we please just talk to the miracle worker today? Let's talk to the Lord today, and let's see what he might do. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, I ask you now that you would take every situation that's represented in this room, and God, turn it around. God, I come against discouragement and doubt and frustration. Some of us thought we'd never have to deal with this again, but here it is again. And we throw our hands up and we're not even sure what to do, but God, may we keep in mind that you sincerely love us. And Lord, you're able to do something great. You might even want to use us and do something that endures forever. Lord, whatever your plan is, we just submit to you. And we pray, Lord God, that you would do great things. So Jesus, touch our minds today. Touch our minds. May we walk out of here with a peace unlike we've had in a long time. So meet with your people, I ask you, Jesus. And we'll thank you for all you do. In your name we pray. Amen. If you need to pray, do so right now. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless you.